She was a young girl. Her parents had died. She was living with her closest relative, a male cousin. The prominent leader of the area where she and her cousin lived was a person of great wealth and prestige. He was born into a family with a strong political favor. His parents' marriage was the blending of two powerful families, thus making him leader over both areas. He was considered more than just tall, dark, and handsome. He was the best-looking guy in the area. And he, in addition to that, he was quite the playboy. He could have any woman he wanted, and he kept many available at his disposal. He controlled a vast territory and had many who worked only for him. One night he was giving a party to end all parties. There was much drinking, specifically no restraints. Just like a high school kid who throws a party when his parents are away, letting everyone do as they please. It was time for his woman to join him. He wanted to show her off to those at the party. She was truly the kind of beauty that turned every head when she entered a room. She was to come into the room, show off to his people that who she was and that she belonged only to him. However, she refused to enter the room and play his game. This caused our leader great public humiliation, and he appeared weak then to those who he ruled over. She just disappeared, though, never to be seen or heard of again. Now, our leader is looking for a new lady. Every girl in the area wants to try out for the position, including our young orphan. Unknowingly, her cousin is so proud, he encourages her to do her best. It was said, though, that once a girl tried out, she was never seen again. But our orphan is chosen for the short list. She is taken with the other girls to the area. For a year, she's given the best of everything. Beauty treatments to make her face look beautiful, oils to make her skin soft, soaps for bathing and the finest makeup, clothing from the latest designers, and jewelry that has the look of wealth and a person of great means. We might say, wow, that is a great experience for a young orphan girl. She will have position, prestige, and live in luxury. Thanks to coaching from one of the staff, she learns how to please others around her and develops her people skills. But is this a plush existence or a pointless imprisonment? The day comes for the decision to be made about who will be chosen. Our young orphan is chosen, and she becomes Queen Esther and sits on the throne beside King Xerxes. We will hear more about our orphan who wears a crown later. Esther was given a great honor and privilege, or was she a victim of human trafficking? Don't answer that yet. Human trafficking, what it is, and what you need to know about it. Good morning. I'm Julie Wiseman, an associate pastor at Eagle Ridge Church of God, and I bring you greetings from Eagle Ridge. We all kind of know each other, don't we? As I walked in, I thought, who am I going to see today? And Margaret met me at the door. And I thought, oh, okay, we're home. We know people here. I was challenged to become involved in this issue about human trafficking while attending our national convention for the Church of God in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Jim Lyon, our national director, was talking about human trafficking that was happening in Cuttack, India. He was talking about the Church of God's involvement in this area, in this horrific crime that was happening in India, and how the Church of God has been involved for many, many years. He encouraged us, as only Jim Lyon can do, to follow your passion and be the hands and feet of Jesus all over the world. So I came home from the convention and contacted Bonnie Lottman. Many of you may know her. She was pastoring the Baruta Church. She's our go-to person here in Michigan about human trafficking. And so my journey began. Bonnie encouraged me to become involved in the local task force and take training from our state director. And I did. Our local task force was in an infant stages, so it was a good time to get involved. While attending this training for the state, I met our state director, Jane White, and you're going to be hearing more from her in a few minutes. I was in training that my eyes were open to the severity of these issues that we all face and we all need to deal with. First, we had to learn what human trafficking is. This slide tells you that. There's sex trafficking, commercial sex acts induced by force, fraud, coercion, or in which a person performing the act is under the age of 18. Then there's labor trafficking using force, fraud, coercion, to recruit, harbor, transport, obtain, or employ a person for labor, services, in domestic servitude, farm workers, or factory workers. And that does not include teenagers who are working to raise money. Just when he said that word today, I thought, I'm going to be talking about servitude. So it doesn't include teenagers. But there are three words to remember. This may be the key. Force, fraud, coercion. These words are not ones I use every day. I don't know about you. So I had to look them up. First of all, force. Webster says that force is a physical power or strength possessed by a living being. He used force to open up a window. It's the strength or power exerted upon an object, physical force. The law states that unlawful violence or threatened committed against a person or property. Or in other words, persuasive power, power to convince. The next word is fraud. It's deceit or trickery, a sharp practice or a breach of confidence perpetuated for profit or gain to some unfair or dishonest advantage. As in this graphic, it's like passing bad money or trying to deceive people for money. The next word is coercion. It's further defined as using force or the power to use force in gaining compliance, the puppeteer controlling the puppet. Wow, that's powerful. Not part of your everyday language, but the key to all of this is one word, and that word is promise. Kevin Bales, who wrote the book The Slave Next Door, which tells the story about a young girl here in Michigan who was trafficked, describes the promise this way. It's the perfect storm of how poverty, chaos, destructive relationships, and potential opportunity will exist for those who desperately have listened to and been promised a better life through a job or through a relationship based on care, and it's within their reach, but discover that they've been robbed of their humanity, their soul, and their control, and they have no way out. The elements of human trafficking involve these three things. That's on a bill, Hunter. The process of luring the person into the promise, the means of doing it through force, fraud, or coercion, and the end game of involuntary servitude, debt bondage, slavery, or commercial sex acts. We're going to show you a video just in a few minutes, and this is called Break the Chain. It's a feature-length documentary film addressing the issues of human trafficking within Michigan and the United States that is often misrepresented or exploited. Break the Chain is a second documentary that was produced by Laura Swanson and Kirk Mason. I'm going to show the trailer for you so you can see just a few minutes of it. In the trailer, Jane White addresses some of the misconceptions about what is or is not human trafficking.
Thank you. Looking back over the long 6 years I spent with you, it is very clear you had no respect for me. You said you would kill me with your bare hands when I was only a child. After hearing over and over how you said I was horrible and worthless, I cannot erase those messages. The physical torture, beating me and starving me, you inflicted was so painful that I prayed at night that God would either help me to be free or allow your assaults to kill me. You worked the four of us to death. I would dream of being able to rest. Pain is something I will never forget.
Michigan prosecutor charged.
Epidemic here in Metro Detroit.
Only 18 years old.
Websites like Backpage.com.
$1,400 an hour.
Human trafficking is extremely profitable. It's so profitable that we're seeing some drug traffickers get out of drug trafficking and into human trafficking.
Human trafficking is something that we have never been without in the United States. We even fought a war. Everybody knows that. And there is an assumption that that indeed ended slavery. It did not end slavery.
Up 21 million people around the world that are being trafficked.
I was 7 when I was brought to the U.S. by a trafficker. He pretty much told my parents that he was going to give me education here, better life.
You know, when we talk about this, we often talk about it as something that's very much hidden in plain sight.
They typically think of human trafficking that they've seen in the media.
Dramatized, made huge on the screen, and that's really not necessarily how it happens. It is happening everywhere around us.
Sex trafficking is the second fastest growing criminal enterprise in the world.
The girl that was up in the top bedroom, that's where he shot her in the face. At the age of 13, really didn't have anywhere to go. I was pretty much homeless.
At first, of course, they treat you like a queen, give you everything you want. Slowly but surely, you end up on the bottom of the barrel, but still giving everything you make.
We were to give him all of our money. I had gave him every dime that I made.
I'm a part of a film crew. I'm doing a documentary film.
You know what I'm saying? I basically gave all my money to him.
Have the cops ever come here for trafficking?
It was expensive.
But you do know that there's human trafficking?
Are victims of human trafficking.
Every one of us could be one of them.
We need all types of people to talk about it correctly and fully informed.
This is just another civil right that we have to fight for. People are entitled to be free.
Do what you do well, educate the communities you're already in, and you will make a huge difference.
So first of all, thank you so much for speaking with us. And the first thing that I wanted to ask you is, do you want to remain anonymous?
No.
So, kind of sobering, isn't it? Here's the teacher in me. We're going to have a quiz, okay? It's going to be kind of like a popcorn quiz. You're going to answer with a yes or a no, okay? So you don't have to, like, we're not going to pass out papers, that kind of thing. Okay, the first one, we have some illustrations, and I want you to say whether you think it's trafficking or not trafficking. Okay, the first one is Kelsey. Found an interesting opportunity to work at a summer camp. She's expected to work 70 to 80 hours a week for less than minimum wage after room and board. She's only allowed to contact her friends and family on an emergency basis or late at night on the weekends. Is this trafficking or not? Yes? No? Oh, we have it divided. Oh, yeah. How many say yes? Oh, good. How many say no? The no's have it. She's not being trafficked. She's not making much money, and she's working really hard, but she can still contact her family. And she's not isolated. Like that girl said, she did not want to remain anonymous. Okay, the second one. A music artist travels throughout the country on a bus looking to recruit young individuals to engage in this merchandise sales. Is this trafficking, yes or no? How many yes? We'll just say that. Yes? Okay. We have some yeses. How many no's? About the same number of no's. It's no, because it's not force, fraud, or coercion. They're doing it on their own free will. Lucky them, they get to call all those records and boxes. Okay, next one. Maggie is a junior in high school. She offers sexual services on the weekends in order to have a little extra spending money and splits the earnings with her boyfriend, who sets up the connections. Yes? How many no? Oh, a few no's. It is a yes. Number one, she's a minor. She's under the age of 18. But he is using her. Okay, next one. Lynn is a college student who works as an adult entertainment venue and escort to pay for her tuition. At times, her clients physically or sexually assault her during her encounters. How many say yes? Yes? How many say no? It's no. I know. It's a horrible way to work your way through college. I'd rather wait tables. But it is not, because it's not being set up by anybody, and it's not force, fraud, or coercion. It's just really sad. The next one. Isaac works in a gas station for his uncle and is expected to work 16-hour days at the gas station. He sleeps in a cot in the back office and is beaten if he discusses leaving or talks to customers about his situation. He's paid minimum wage for the first 40 hours. How many say yes? Whoa, unanimous. How many say no? Nobody's going to vote now. It is yes, because it's force. His uncle is forcing him to do this. Okay, the next one. Casey finds an interesting work opportunity that involves nannying in a different part of the country. Once she arrives, she finds her wages cannot keep up with her room and board expenses required by her employer. Now she's in debt to her employer and can't return home until the debt is paid. How many say yes? How many say no? It is yes. Because she can't contact her family. She's being held captive. And it's force and it's coercion, because they gave her a promise of one thing and it turned out to be a promise of something else. So this next graph shows you the location of human trafficking as it was in 2014. And you can see that the hot spots are on either side of the United States on the two coasts. The next slide tells you about some of the indicators. I'd like to point out three. False promises, fear of physical retaliation as the boy at the garage, and not in control of your money or ID, which is possibly the nanny situation. Our state's demographics are similar to Florida in that we have tourism, agriculture, international waterways, and an international border. Large events sometimes bring the reputation of having demand for traffickers, such as the Super Bowl or the Detroit Auto Show. What they do is just bring it to the forefront. It was already there. They don't cause it to happen. So we all need to be on the alert. Our next video was produced by the Michigan State Police, or troopers, for the service industry. It fits us because we're in and around our cities. Okay.
You see a lot of homes in all sorts of areas. Meet a lot of people. And even pets. Out here, you have to take your job seriously. And always be on the lookout to find better ways to safeguard the people you serve.
What kind of shop are you guys got going here?
Tool and die shop.
Great. Welcome to the neighborhood.
Thanks.
Or the products that protect their homes. Or services to get their homes running just right. You work hard every day because you don't want to miss a thing.
Like you just did.
Do I have your attention?
Workers who are in people's homes on a day-to-day basis are a critical part of identifying potential cases of human trafficking and combating this horrific crime. When you know what to look for, you can help bring an end to human trafficking.
As service workers, you play an important role in the detection of human trafficking. You are on the front lines, in homes and in neighborhoods. Now that you know some of the signs to look for, you can help save those who are being victimized. Together, we can make a difference. If you identify someone you think may need help, please contact the National Human Trafficking Resource Center at 888-373-7888. This is a toll-free hotline that's available to answer calls from anywhere in the country, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and all calls are confidential. On behalf of the Michigan State Police, thank you for your help in keeping our community safe.
Okay, now I've presented the bad news, but here's the good news. Many people are at work to help prevent this. As you can see, the state troopers have made the video. There's other departments all in all parts of the government that are working. Homeland Security has established what they call the Blue Campaign, and I have flyers out on the information table about the Blue Campaign. Our Attorney General has worked with legislature to perform the Human Trafficking Task Force Commission, and they are working on a victim-centered approach to these and creating legislation for people. In 2013, that commission had two goals: to assess the threat of human trafficking and develop policies to recommend that it end. And they have policies they put in place in 2015. You heard the state trooper give the national hotline number. It's reported to what's called the Polaris Project, and they're located in Washington, D.C., and all the statistics are accumulated. So this is a time when I'm going to invite you all to get out your cell phones. I know you're dying of shock. You've never heard anybody say, in the middle of a speaking thing, get out your cell phone. Okay, and go to your contacts, and I want you to list hotline. And put this number, 888-373-7888. And that number is the hotline. And it will call the Polaris Project, and help will be sent to the person who is in trouble. Also, the state of Michigan has a state task force, and there are 90 agencies involved in that task force, and they are working together to help victims as they re-enter society. There are court programs in place. There are people helping with housing, helping with job training, helping these folks make a better life for themselves so that they don't get sucked into the promise. State Trooper Will Smith, I know that's a funny name, right? He's on the go all over the state of Michigan telling people this famous phrase, if you see something, say something. I'm sure you've all heard that before. Leslie King is a young lady who has developed a survivor-led program in Grand Rapids called Sacred Beginnings. And she helps young women who have started doing all these things to create a new life for themselves. And this place is peaceful, it's safe, and she surrounds them with love so that they have the courage to go on and face a new life. When I look at the chart of the basic needs, I think, how can I help? That's a lot of stuff, you know? But it's not one person doing it. All these people are coming together to do it together. So it takes all of us. So you say, might say, well, that's the national and the state. What's happening here in Midland County? Well, we have a Midland task force of up to several agencies and ministries. Local churches are involved as well. And we are working together to create a safer community. There's not a large number of documented... Okay.
There's an aspect of this that a lot of you don't understand. Yes, there is human trafficking, and there's an aspect that a husband will also human traffic his wife. He will use his wife as bait for other men. He will use his wife as a useless material. He will use his wife So you see a wife pretending to be everything okay? It probably is not okay. If everything looks okay, it probably is not okay. You see bruises, it's probably not okay. And I can guarantee it's probably not put by him either. It's probably put on by somebody else. And it's probably used, she has been used and coerced and used by fraud and forced to do things she has normally not been used to.
Thank you for sharing that. That is very eye-opening, isn't it? We have a lot of information on our lobby table. If you would like to take a brochure about what our Attorney General's office is doing and what is being done by the national and by state agencies. I'd like to return to our Esther story. Let's return to Queen Esther. Many of you remember in the story about Queen Esther and how she was able to use her position as queen to save the Jewish people in Persia. But not every girl that's put in a position becomes Queen Esther. Some girls believe that they can have a better life. Esther was fortunate that even though she was an orphan, she was given the support of her cousin. And she thought that support of that one in charge of her new environment, he saw potential in her and encouraged her to move forward. Mordecai, though, challenged her in this most famous portion from Esther 4:14. And who knows, but you have come to a royal position for such a time as this. When I was at the Christian Women's Connection convention last October, that was the theme of that convention, for such a time as this. We all are here for a reason, and we all are part of a community to help those in need. And then also, Esther had the support of the Jewish community. She asked the people and her royal staff to pray and fast for 3 days so that she could seek God's will. We had a dear friend in our congregation at the East Ashman site who taught a class called Least of These. And he always challenged us with this verse from Matthew 25:40. Truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you did it for me. And I remember the part in Exodus where we're talking, Moses is talking about, he's holding up his arms. Do you remember that? He's holding up his arms so that the children of Israel can win the battle. And as long as his arms stay up, they win the battle. And when his arms start falling, they lose the battle. Well, in Exodus 17:12, Moses' arms soon became so tired, he could no longer hold them up. So Aaron and Hur found a stone for him to sit on. How practical. And they stood on each side of Moses, holding up his arms until that sunset. Sometimes somebody, all they need is a stone to sit on or somebody to hold up their arm. Proverbs 3:27 says, "Do not withhold good from those to whom it is due, when it is your power to act." And Galatians 6:2, Paul reminds us to carry each other's burdens in a way that you will fulfill the law of Christ. So we have to work together as a community to help solve problems, but not necessarily we don't have to solve people's problems. We just have to kind of point them in the right direction of where those problems can find help and be solved. So, you may choose to look away, but you can never again say that you did not know. I'd like us to pray, please. Dear Father, we thank you for your presence with us this morning. As we were singing that wonderful song, 10,000 Blessings, we just thank you each day for the blessings that you give us, for your presence in our lives, for holding our hands, for holding the hands of people who have been victimized by a horrible trauma and are seeking to find help and solutions to their lives. We pray that you continue to be with those people and continue to bring people in their path that will help them find those solutions. And we pray that as you prompt us that you can give us the insight to know how to help someone, to help them find a stone to sit on, or help hold their arms up during a battle, or hold their hand during a time of grief and sorrow. And we just pray that as we continue to close this service, that you would be with us in Jesus' name. Amen.